States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jessica, roll call, please.
Lassiter.
Here.
Nemechek.
Here.
Conklin. Moody.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Quorum present.
Would anyone like to make a motion to excuse you?
Sure, I'd like to make a motion to excuse Hugh Conklin.
I'll second that. All good.
Thank
you. Aye. All right, next is a consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will automatically be respected. Anyone on the staff let anything move?
No, sir.
Anyone in the public? Any commissioner? All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
And second?
Second.
Thank you. Next is citizen comment.
Silly good on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Roll call, sorry.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Next is citizens' comments. The purpose of the citizens' comments on non-agenda items is to allow citizens to address the city commission on any topic or of interest to them. If you have questions, they will be addressed as best as they can. When you are finished, if your question cannot be answered immediately at today's meeting, it will be directed to city staff and you will be provided an answer in a reasonable amount of time. Please limit all speaking to 5 minutes. Jessica will be taking time. Anyone in the public have any comments or anything they'd like to bring up? You say your name and address, please.
Lindsay Adams. I live at 326 Spring Street, and I've been in our house there for just about a year. And I have some questions about the vehicle charging station that's at Old City Park. Again, this is, I don't know how long it's been there, but I'm new to living there, so we just noticed different things going on there. Was that leased? Did somebody buy it? Or what's that relationship? Is there plans for any more? And what we see happening all summer long as people come there, park their car there, they leave them there overnight and come by and pick them up in the morning. And is there some kind of a waiver that they have as far as the city parking ordinance for just for parking?
We have a lease arrangement with Hawk Automotive. The city commission entered into that probably about 2 years ago. We have two sets of charging stations, the one that you mentioned by Old City Park, and the second one in the parking lot next to the library by the Red Building. They're both operated by the same company. They paid to put the whole installation in. They pay all the operating costs and maintenance costs with regards to it. The city gets a slight return on the amount of electricity that is used based on kilowatts. The customers are charged by Hawk Automotive themselves for the use of that service. Basically, the arrangement provided those two parking spaces at both locations, so four spaces altogether for them to use. They're not exclusively signed, but people are generally pretty good about parking there, not parking other cars in there. But if somebody does during a busy occasion, there's no fine or anything of that nature. So that saved us. We were looking at doing something like that with an electric charging station. As I mentioned, there was no cost to the city. Saved us probably about $35,000 or $40,000 to put those in, plus the electrical costs and the maintenance and operation.
Why is the city even involved in something like that?
It's a service that many communities provide to encourage that through the state. It's also encouraged by the state of Michigan, and Consumers Energy was involved in that as well, too.
Okay. So I know for the longest time there's been concern about parking in town. Is there any plans for, do they have any option as far as in the future adding additional?
There hasn't been any discussions with regards to that. If there was such a request, it would come to the City Commission for consideration, okay. As that one did too.
Okay.
Any other public comment?
How about the overnight parking issue?
That hasn't been raised before with regards to it. There hasn't been a waiver or anything just unique. I'd have to go back to the lease and double check to see if there was any language in it. Nothing jumps out at me. Those locations were picked in part because of generally the low density, as those were in areas where our parking center basically stated there was generally available parking in those locations. I should mention that the facility that was set up at the library parking lot also proved to be a service to Bob Mathers Ford, who had a requirement that we found out after the fact, it wasn't part of our decision making for putting it in, that Ford was requiring them to put in electrical charging stations as well too, for them to continue in their business. And by us having the one nearby, it met that requirement and saved them a significant amount of money too.
Just curious, when that study was being done, what's the next closest community that has that?
Has these parking?
Yeah, so if someone was visiting our community with a Tesla, how far would they have to go outside of our community to charge their vehicle?
That wasn't the study I was referring to. The study was the parking study overall.
Right.
I do believe, and I'm not sure what the types of the charging stations are in Walloon, that they have some that are available.
Okay.
I know Rapids has some by this company. There's different companies that have different ones throughout the state. This group was looking to set up a network all throughout the state of Michigan. And I think if we go to their website, we can see where they're listed.
East Jordan has one too.
East Jordan does?
Yes.
And Boyne Mountain.
I know Boyne Mountain did for Teslas. I didn't know if they had them for regular, I mean for other electric vehicles as well.
I thought they were going to put that over in the Ford. They were in the new section they had over there between the motel and the lumber company, that spot there. They were supposed to be putting up a center for, you know, plugging in. No one meeting. That was talked about here. That meeting.
Mark had his hand up.
Yeah. So my question was to you, Mike. So I asked this a year ago, and they still haven't fixed it. Are they going to come back and make their project look like something? They were pouring cement in February, two Februarys ago, and it looked like crap. Still looked like crap all last summer and all this summer. They haven't done anything.
No, no, they haven't. I could reach out to them again and remind them that we're not happy with the quality of the work.
I mean, I'll take you over there and I'll show you.
Oh, no, I've been in
the looks like crap. Yeah. It's not like what Illinois City looked like. That's what I said to you.
Okay. All right, moving on. Any other public comment before we move on? Okay. Moving on to correspondence. There's an email from Chet Polkowski. There is a thank you card from Daniel Duncan. Michigan Sparks grant program information. And I will just add on that was one of the general session topics at the MML. Just kind of the feedback that we got, or that they communicated, that it's going to be a very competitive program out of that $65 million. And prioritizing on communities, what would you call the distressed communities?
Yes.
Okay. So obviously something that, and there's three phases?
Correct. There's the phase the applications are due on December 16th. That's a $15 million round. Then there'll be two additional rounds in the spring and I think early summer of 2023 that are each $25 million each, totaling up to $65 million available.
All right. And because I know Tom, you had a question in regards to it. So, and then last but not least is the notice from the Michigan Liquor Control Commission regarding license transfer of 229 Water Street LLC. That's at the Point River Inn. Any questions? Comments?
Just Mike answered my email and you guys received it. It was just explaining in more depth the Sparks grant program. It's basically state money that's going to communities for recreation. And you know, we have many projects that we might be able to apply that towards. Improving avalanche, improving the open space, the marina, the trails, the new skate park, the new ball field. I mean, we've got plenty of recreational activities. So yeah, I'm excited that when it's ready, we should apply.
Yeah, so just in terms of the timeline here, this first application deadline is December 16th. And in this email, it looks like the Parks and Rec Board is going to come up with ideas on how they would like to utilize potential grants, and then you guys will be bringing that to the City Commission?
Yes, I'd like to bring it to the Commission on the 22nd, so then either we can get some guidance or direction as to what, if anything, the Commission would like staff to do, or if we need a little bit more time, we have until the December 13th meeting, but obviously that's only 3 days to complete an application after that. Right, so we have the two meetings coming up for it to be discussed. But I thought it'd be good to get input and make possible recommendations from the park board for you.
Okay. Is there any public comments in regards to the correspondence received? All right. Moving on to the city manager's report.
The concrete for the new splash pad that's being built in Peninsula Beach Park was poured last Thursday. And I went and checked it out. I thought it looked pretty good. Nice construction. And Mike may have reported that when we had those rains last week after the pour, it was holding water in a really conular manner. I mean, it wasn't like it was on a round or anything like that. So, but they're basically done for this year, and we'll have further construction taking place in the spring. So, Mr. White did not, you know, he was hoping to get it done and actually operational before the end of the summer and fall, but just ran out of time and good weather. The city has been advised by the county that the $5,000 grant we applied for to help the Rotary Club build the shelter that they're doing as part of an anniversary project in Peninsula Beach Park has been approved. That comes from the county's park village. The Rotary Club also looks to continue their project in the spring, so they had talked about possibly pouring the concrete, but they won't be doing that at this point. The final fencing for the pickleball courts that was previously approved by the City Commission has been installed. That's a little bit ahead of schedule. They were talking about that possibly for next spring. The courts are open still and will remain open at least through this weekend and as long as the weather allows us to do so. Last city, Boyne City, along with East Jordan, the City of Charlevoix and Charlevoix County, received a certificate of appreciation. I brought it here in case anybody wants to see it. For our joint efforts on dealing with the housing needs at the last week's 2022 Northwest Michigan Housing Summit that was held in Traverse City. New homes continue to be delivered and set up in the Fox Run development. It was asked before the meeting if occupancy permits have been received for any of them. Not that we're aware, we don't believe so yet. But they're still trying to get that done yet this winter. At least that some homes open this winter. The police department's new speed and message sign was delivered last week and is starting to be used as our personnel learn how to use it. It moved when I actually wrote the memo and it's now currently set up just outside the City Hall entrance. It was out on North Lake Street earlier. On Monday, the last of the trees that were approved by the City Commission for planting at last week's meeting were planted, so they're all in place now. Hopefully getting their roots anchored over the winter months. Our auditors have put the finishing touches on our annual audit of our finances for last fiscal year, which ended on April 30th. We look to make it available once we receive it and schedule a review at an upcoming City Commission meeting. It appears that we'll be receiving an unmodified opinion, which is the highest rating possible. Today, this morning, while things were home on Lake Charlevoix, DPW crews moved the fishing pier that's at the end of Water Street and the shopper's dock from behind the Rivermouth restrooms to their winter locations at the City Marina, which is now closed for the season. DPW crews are expected to install a new storm drain in the near future where water has been ponding on Lake Shore on the south side of the lake. That water has been causing icy road conditions during the winter months, and it's hoped that our efforts will remove that hazard. Our consulting engineer, C2AE, has submitted a notice of intent to the state to help the city secure a low-cost loan or grant dollars that would help us fund an estimated $12 million of improvements to our wastewater collection and treatment systems identified in our capital improvement plan for that system. And we have meetings with current wastewater personnel to confirm that those are still the appropriate projects. While filing that notice possibly opens the door to such funding, it obviously doesn't guarantee it, nor does it require any action from the city if we choose not to, to actually follow through with it. A reminder that our leaf collections are now taking place on Mondays and Fridays. A lot of the leaves have come down in the last week or so. The program is scheduled to continue through Friday, November 11th. Leaves should be bagged and craft paper bags to be collected. Congratulations to the Boyne District Library's Library Director, Monica Pepp, on her selection as a Michigan Librarian of the Year. Good thing to put Boyne City on the map, as was an exceedingly well-done job to our EMS Director, Brenda Wilson, on her saving of a person's life while off duty and in the air on a flight to be with family members out west. I think she said she was 30,000 feet when this took place. Her skills and willingness to step forward and get involved made the biggest possible difference in a person's life. They still have it. So congratulations to Brenda. And Jim just posted a little video of Brenda talking about her experience on Facebook. I think there's a link to it on the city social media site as well too. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about that, I can't say enough about Brenda stepping forward, and I think it's a great reflection on her and also on our department. A reminder that City Hall will be open this Sunday, November 6th, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. for the issuing and receipt of absentee ballots for next Tuesday's election. The polls will be open on next Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. To date, 848 absentee ballots have been issued, 623 of which have been returned. So, those are the items I have tonight. If you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try in person.
Any questions, commissioners?
I guess I have one. I'll use the word appalled that, this is a big problem that I have with the way that we set up our agendas and stuff like that. That we went from, we already had all the trees ordered, 65 trees ordered, and it was, I guess it didn't mean anything what this board chose to do. The trees were just going to be planted no matter what, it kind of seems, because it's less than a week, we planted 65 trees. I have a real problem with that. I know you didn't have a problem, with that, what if we would have said we're going to go with one tree, and now, where's the precedent that we're setting? We got to get a grip on this, and we said we were going to put a plan forward, and what if we get 200 people that said, finally found out, wait, I can get a tree. So next year, we're going to have $100,000 that we're going to lay out for trees? And I know your answer. Well, no, we cap it at this. It still was bunk that we even let anybody, have five trees. I mean, again, I'll say it just like I said last week. I got no problem with trees. But it was a silly setup. And knowing that 65 trees got planted in less than a week, that's very suspicious. So I'll leave it at that. There's my kind of
In regards to the tree topic, I'll just bring this to light. I had a resident from the community reach out to me with frustration. This individual, their frustration was they reached out to the city, attempted to request trees. Well, they did. They thought that they fulfilled what needed to be done as far as what they were told. This is a process in making the request. And that was done in April, he said, last spring. And he ironically was going through the agenda packet the day of our meeting, and he noticed, he looked through the packet, and he did not notice his name or the request that he made several, you know, about half a year earlier on there. So that individual, you know, contacted me through email, expressed their issue, you know, their concerns and the issues that they experienced. I've reached back out to the individual though, and fortunately enough, the request that he made was actually fulfilled in this last week. So I said it at the last meeting, I think we have the opportunity to do better in regards to educating the public, the community, letting them know about this program. I said it again last week that I lived here for several years and I would not know about this program if I was not sitting up here. So those are things that I think the city administration and the commission can come up with ideas on how to correct that. With that being said, I agree with Commissioner Marty as far as what's the process. Because there's an example that was just given to me within this last week on that this individual was told, here's the process on making the request. He did that. It wasn't fulfilled. He said that he did call City Hall when he noticed his request was not on there, and he was told, sorry, there's nothing we can do. By, you know, administration, when he reached out to the city that day, and then that's what prompted him to reach out further and contact me through email. So yeah, I believe we can do better. So we'll see how we do next time. Any other questions on the city manager's report?
I agree that we all agreed, okay, this will be a future agenda item, and we can improve on how the process is done, but there is a process in place, there was communication in place, and I think Marty, we voted, it was passed, we move on, we make an agenda item, and we address it as an agenda
item. My main point, Tom, was that you don't see anything presumptive there at all. So it, in 6 days, two of them being Saturday and Sunday, okay, 65 trees showed up, planted, installed, and the ink wasn't even dry on us approving it until 10 o'clock a week ago. I'll sit here and say, that's fine, I get it. I'm just saying, I don't think it was above board. I don't think the program was above board. We just heard it wasn't above board. And I want to have this on January's agenda, I guess, so we can nip this thing in the bud going forward. You know, here we need to agree. We're going to do 30 trees or whatever. I think it's ludicrous for you know. I'll stop, because I'll say some more later.
All right, moving on, I did have one question in regards to the consulting engineers with C2AE.
Yes.
What is that grant program?
Hang on a
second. And is there a timeline on that?
Clean Water and Drinking Water State Revolving Fund, Strategic Water Quality Initiatives Fund. Generally, they have about $750 million in that project, C2AE, and that's an annual project. They usually come up with these applications once a year, usually requesting them in January. This year, because the state received some additional funds from the federal government as part of the COVID Recovery Act or one of those programs, there's about an extra $300 to $400 million, taking the total amount available in to a little over $1 billion. opportunity to take a look at the number of the projects that we already had on the books and turn in this notice of intent and see if we could possibly get some funding that might reduce our costs if we then chose to. If we do, then we can then choose to proceed with them or not. What happens now is generally within a couple of weeks after the notice, and the notice of intent is due today.
Were they done that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
The notice of intent, and it's a very simple, straightforward one-page form. You're saying, hey, you're interested about how much money, really broad categories. They don't get into any details at that point.
Right.
Then within like 2 or 3 weeks after that, the state communicates with you and ask you a bunch of questions about it, and they might give you some indication as to whether they think it'd get favorable consideration or not. Similar to the Spark grant that we talked about earlier, it seems that the state is kind of putting an emphasis on distressed communities. We don't fall into that category, but we have another, you know, there's other ways that you can score points that might get us qualified with regards to it.
Okay. When I'm, the only, my thought process on this is, and it's something I'm going to bring up again and go to the order, is the ARP funds that we have.
Yes.
And what the city's intent, or what the city, you know, and I'm going to structure that once we get there, kind of what I feel us commissioners need from the administration, but if we have the opportunity to utilize that as capital infrastructure improvement,
yes,
that's reserving our ARP funds that we have for potentially different projects.
Correct. I mean, you could use ARP funds. You have a very wide latitude as to what the commission can use ARP funds for.
Right.
Basically, you know, the general rule is, except for a couple of exclusions, like I don't think you can pay off debt, or I think there might be limitations on retirements and things of that nature. You can pretty much use it for anything that the city does as its regular course of operations, with those few exceptions.
Okay.
So whether that's construction or personnel or whatever, you could be used.
All right, moving on, agenda item number 7, reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. A, Main Street draft minutes from October 4th, 2022. B, Parks and Recreational draft minutes of October 13th, 2022. Any questions? Any questions from the public? Comments, concerns? Okay. Moving on to 8, old business, there's nothing. That puts us right at number 9, A, new business, and that's 2022 annual fire suppression and fire alarm testing contract. Full report is available at the city's clerk office, and I think Mike, you're taking that?
Yes. Mike wasn't able to attend the meeting tonight, so I'll be handling the next 3 items that he prepared for us. This first one is for annual fire suppression and fire alarm testing contract, as mentioned by Mayor Pertown. Each year, the City of Boyne City public buildings are required to test our fire suppression system, like in this building here. Fire extinguishers and fire alarms to stay in compliance with NFPA guidelines and insurance requirements. In northern Michigan, there are 2 companies that are certified for this type of complete testing, Summit Fire Protection and Total Fire, both out of Traverse City. Mike reached out and ended up receiving 2 proposals. The first one was for a Total Fire at a cost of $1,223. He did not feel that that was complete, that they missed many devices that should have been in their proposal. He contacted them and asked them if they would resubmit or have further discussions with them on it, and they did not respond. The second proposal was from Summit Fire. He feels that's very comprehensive. It's also more expensive, much more expensive at $4,219. Summit spent the better part of 4 hours thoroughly documenting all components that need to be tested and examined. Because of the differential in the proposals, he felt it was difficult to compare value and quality between the 2 companies. He thought that Summit Fire should be our vendor for the consideration of that contract at the price that I mentioned of $4,219. Included in the agenda packet, and I can put it up on the screen, is the cost from both of those companies. There were some full proposals that are, you know, 30 or 50 pages of pretty heavy duty. Those are available in the city clerk's office if anybody cares to review them. These funds are budgeted in our current fiscal year budget and would be charged to the public building safety and maintenance contracted services line item. So it is our recommendation that the city commission approve the purchase order contract with Summit Fire for the upcoming year's annual fire suppression and alarm testing in the amount not to exceed $4,219, and authorize me to execute the necessary documents. And I'd be glad to answer any questions the commission may have.
All right, thank you. Any citizen comments, questions, concerns? All right, we'll move to the board for board discussion and questions.
Yeah, Mike, have we used this total alert before, or who do we normally use?
You know, I'm not sure, George. I don't think we have used either of these two firms in the past.
I guess it was a follow-up question. I mean, you look at the difference in these prices, and they're just huge. You know, I wonder, is there a time limit this has to be done by?
No.
Are we under some kind of a...
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Time obligation, because I mean...
No, we already had all our fire extinguisher service, and there's been some initial testing of things. I'm not aware that we're behind in anything.
Okay.
If the commission would like some more information, or...
I just can't help but wonder if there's maybe another company out there, maybe not as close to Traverse City, but, you know, $1,200 to test the sprinklers in the city hall versus $150. You know, it seems like there's another company out there that can do this. You know, even in line with Total Fire, who's more responsive and maybe actually completes a bid, which these guys didn't seem too interested in doing that. Well, I should be interested in that, save a lot of money.
Is that all you had? Mark?
Can't agree more with George. Another one of my questions was going to be, did we talk to Dennis? There's a gentleman that Dennis has recommended his company, because I have different commercial applications that have needed these kind of services, and I don't have the gentleman's. I was looking for his card earlier today, I couldn't find it, and I didn't get a hold of Dennis. But I guess I would like to, you know, fire chief's input on this, and that there is, you know, I was thinking on George's lines that if this needed to be done, you know, by, you know, January 1st or something, you know, maybe. But if this is just a simple check and we have to check the box, then yeah, I'm not interested. I would rather, you know, table this, you know, work on getting three bids. You know, we just have been so lax on the bid process. It's just like, oh, that looks good enough, just do it. And it drives me crazy. But I think that the disparity, like George said, between the two is grotesque. And maybe they did miss a couple of things, but what did they miss? Show us. I mean, we got some detail here. What did they miss? So I would be in the mind of making a motion to table this until we get further knowledge from the fire chief and or multiple bids.
Anything else? Tom?
Well, the letter did explain that there was 4 hours of thoroughly documenting all components that needed to be treated and examined, and that was the discrepancy. And the company that submitted the lowest bid did not resubmit and did not answer the questions, did not respond. But in respect to your concerns, I have no trouble tabling this.
Yeah.
As you said, if there's not a timeline, if it's check the box and we get Dennis's approval of input, I have no problem.
Yeah, so that was my very first question, was a deadline for the inspection to be compliant. I know some systems you can go 24 months from my experience. Extinguishers are typically about annual, 12 months. I actually have worked with Total Fire quite a bit in the past in a few different facilities. And from my understanding, the facilities, and I've actually had them miss several extinguishers in the past at different facilities, and typically that falls on the facility. So from my experience, typically there is a site application map that we would always hand off to the technician and say, hey, we own 150 fire extinguishers. Here are the locations. They're numbered 1 through 150. And here's a map where you can go to number 25 is on the first floor by the door. So I just wonder if that's something that we have available for these technicians. But I'm in line with each and every one of you guys, just knowing kind of how a missed opportunity could happen. And that's kind of what's correlating here. The difference on this not being complete by Total Fire potentially is they were just unaware. And I can talk on the point of reaching back out to them. If you reach out to the technician directly, typically that would always fail as far as getting a response back. In my past experience, I had to reach out to their office directly and speak with the front office lady there in Traverse City, essentially, to get a good response back. But yeah, since there's not a deadline on compliance, I have no issue with tabling it as well. So I'll entertain a motion with that being said. Or do you have any where you'd like to add a context?
No, not at this point.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion.
Well, I'll make a motion again. I move that we table this the annual fire suppression and fire alarm testing contract until further notice, as we can talk to the our fire chief and work on getting three solid bids.
Second that.
Yeah, my only I'm in agreement with you, Marty, except the three solid bids, that may not be possible. So I don't want the motion to die because of that wording. Just more input, more, we need a timeline. We need input from the chief of police, the chief of fire, and we need to know who performed the services last time. I just don't want to get hung up on three bids, Marty.
Okay.
Change it if you want. You don't have to.
Do you want to amend it?
I don't want to.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, roll call, Jessica.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Motion carried.
All right, moving on to agenda item 9B, release for sale, one used JCB backhoe loader. Recommendation.
A couple of weeks ago, the DPW received our new JCB backhoe / loader. This equipment was overdue for its normal 10-year rotation for replacement. The backhoe that needed to be replaced is a 1998 JCB SLP 210, and it has over 5,500 of hours of use on it. There was not a trade-in consideration for this piece of equipment at that time, and at the time we decided to put it up for sale ourselves. The machine has been cleaned and prepped for resale, and we received interest from one contractor at a price of $12,000. After researching websites to get a solid gauge on the current value of the equipment, Darcy and Michael May believe that we should be able to receive between $15,000 and $18,000 for this piece of equipment. The city has used municipal equipment auction site called govdeals.com for the sale of our used equipment. This is something we've used for a couple of years, and it's really upped the returns that we've gotten on some of our equipment rather than just trying to sell it ourselves. We're asking for the commission's authorization to post and sell our used JCB on GovDeals. We would like to set the reserve at $18,000, If for some reason we did not, I should say first that the sale would also include accessories like the forks and the power sweeper that go with it. The commission, any commission for the sales and handling of the purchase comes from the purchaser and is not, doesn't come out of the revenue that we receive as part of the bid. If approved tonight, this matter would not come back for final approval unless the bids received were much less than the range that we anticipate. Like any auction type of thing, this is online, you basically you set your minimum price. If it comes in above that, it's good to go, and it basically it's a contracted sale at that point. If for some reason it doesn't reach the $18,000 price, we'd like the permission of this commission to allow us to adjust the reserve to no less than the $12,000 that we already had one proposal on. So it's the recommendation that the city commission authorize staff to post and sell this piece of equipment, the 1998 JCB backhoe loader, with the reserve, setting the reserve at $18,000, but allowing staff to adjust the reserve if, to no less than $12,000 if we don't receive a bid above that during the 10-day auction time. And then to authorize the city manager to execute the documents as required for the resale. And there are some pictures I can bring up on the screen here. That is the equipment, the piece of equipment that we are looking to sell. Cleaned up pretty nice.
All right, any citizen comments, questions, concerns? All right, we'll move right to the board. Tom.
Sounds logical. I'm in support.
George.
Yeah, Mike. This, did the new loader come with the sweeper in the forks?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, we would. Yeah, if we could use these on the existing on the new equipment and we didn't have them, we would have used them.
Yeah, I don't
know. All
right. And so we didn't. There was no trade-in offered at all on the loader?
I'd have to go back to the bid specifications, Marty. When it came before the commission, the, if there was one, it should have been noted at that time, but it was not approved with any or any trade-in.
So, who set the value of that?
The current, the proposed value here?
Yeah.
It was Darcy and Mike based after they went online and checked to see what other comparable pieces of equipment were calling for. We had that one proposal that came in from somebody saying, hey, I'll give you $12,000 for it. Mike and Darcy did some research and they felt that that was a low ball offer and we could do better than that. And that's what we're requesting permission to do to try and see if we can maximize our return on it.
Is that guy still on the hook?
No, I don't think
he's online.
I don't know if he is still interested or not.
Okay. My question, I got a question here. Who is the local contractor that offered the $12,000?
I have no idea. And I don't know if it's a local contractor or not.
How'd they know that we had it for sale potentially?
I don't know that either.
Probably saw that we purchased it.
That's all I got. So, with that being said, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to recommend from Director of Public Works Michael LeMay to authorize staff to post and sell our 1998 JCB backhoe and set the reserve at $18,000, allowing staff to adjust the reserve to no less than $12,000 if we do not receive a winning bid during the first 10-day auction time, and authorize the city manager to execute the documents as required for sale.
Thank you, Tom. Anyone support it?
Second.
Okay, George supports. Any other discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on, Agenda item 9C, fall tree trimming, removal, and stump grinding contracts. Mike, would you take that as well?
Yes. Each year, the Public Works Department has a list of locations where trees located in the public right-of-way and the city cemetery require removal and or trimming. Routinely maintaining the trees reduces the city's liability, the liability that we have along our streets and public spaces. For the past 7 years, all aspects forestry has performed the tree removal and trimming for the city of Boynton City. This year, there was a list of trees in city right-of-ways and the cemetery that was sent out with an invitation to bid for the best quality and pricing. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, Halloween at 1 p.m. here at City Hall, the bids were open and recorded. We only did receive one proposal, that was from All Aspects Forestry, which is located here in Traverse City, at the estimated cost of $28,350. Mike, in doing his research for this, estimated the cost for these services to be about $25,000, based on hourly rates of $250 per hour for tree removal and stump grinding, and $225 per hour for tree trimming and lawn restoration. These costs were included in the current year's budget and would be charged to local and major streets in the tree maintenance or replacement draft plan. It's our recommendation that the City Commission approve the purchase order contract with All Aspects Forestry for 2022-2023 with an extra two in there. Tree trimming, removal, and grinding work in an amount not to exceed the $28,350 and authorize the City Manager to execute the necessary documents.
All right, thank you. Any citizen comments, questions, concerns on this agenda? Thank you. All right. So ready to move forward. I'll start with Marty.
I think I think you know what my answer is going to be. I have no interest. With only one bid, I know it's something that we need to do on some of these. As far as the cemetery, I don't think any of those people are going to be complaining if we don't get the trees trimmed. I just have a serious problem with just approving things without supporting documents and supporting bids. I don't think this is a fire. And I think that we can table it again and wait for the process to take place the way that it should take place. And maybe we're not, reaching to the proper, channels of people. So I have no interest in pursuing one bid. I would love to do the same thing, table this until we got a chance to get some competitive bidding and find out, where to go. So with that being said, I appreciate you doing your director's job, Mike, but this is probably one of the biggest meetings where he would have, time to shine a little bit, and he's not even here. So I've had issues with that in the past. I think that's a little bit troublesome as well.
All right. George, Tom, who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Tom. This is a needed contract. You put the bids out. If one company answers the bid, that's by waiting until we get three bids, it's not going to happen. Three companies, just like today's economy, people are so busy, we're not going to get three bids on this. These guys, AJ and Joe, have done this for 7 years. This is a needed service. I think by postponing, we're not going to get more bids. There is nothing underhanded by this bid coming in and...
I didn't hear those words.
Fair enough. It's the fall trimming, removal, stump grinding contract. It's done in the fall. They worked it in November. It's worked beautifully. And I disagree with your comment about the cemetery. There is a safety issue, and there is a beautification issue of taking away the dead trees. And yes, the families are concerned. And the families do appreciate the beautification of the cemetery. And part of that is taking away dead trees and stumps and things that don't look good and cleaning up the cemetery. I worked with Elmer, who took me up there every week and showed me what needed to be done at the cemetery. And she was right. It was dear to her heart to make the cemetery beautiful. And she pointed out and tagged trees herself. And yes, this is a necessary part of a community to take away the dead trees and to plant the new trees. It's a process that works. I'm in full support of this. These guys are reliable. They've done a great job for what, the past seven years they've had this contract. And I don't think by holding off on it, we're going to get other companies to bid on it. So I'm in full support of fulfilling this contract.
George?
Yeah, AJ and Joe, they have done fantastic work, and I'll take them away with them, but I got to agree with Marty that I would like to see at least table this until the next meeting to see if we can get another bid, at least to be competitive, to be fair to that point, that way they have a problem with until the next meeting. Putting out a two firm, well, what?
To the 22nd. Yeah, we're off this week.
Yeah. Okay. So. All right. Questions I had. So, Mike, this looking here, I estimated the cost for these services to be roughly $25,000 an hourly rate. Is that like if we get it in house, we were paying DPW, or what is the hourly rate?
No, that was Mike's estimate as what a contractor would normally charge and what he estimated as their hours would be. That's how he came up with the $25,000. I believe probably after he and Gaudlitzenberger went and toured and identified trees that needed to be removed.
Okay, because he says here these costs are included in the 2022-2023 budget.
Correct.
So what is the budget? $25,000 for this service or $28,350 is what we budgeted?
We budgeted $60,000 for the tree trimming and the planting programs together.
Okay, and so let's do some math. How much did we just spend on the planting?
$29,925. Yeah, so we're under the $60,000. Just close, but just.
And then another question I had, is there a median... like a median expense on this that you can, so for 7 years, All Aspects Forestry LLC has done this, what did it cost us last year? In the previous 6 years, what's the median cost or expense that we faced?
We'd have to look back on the old bills. Okay. And that would vary depending on how many trees were done that year.
And then the other question I had is how long were we, what was the length of the bid window? When did we publicly announce the bid for this service and we closed it on the 31st at 1 p.m.?
It was, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, Jessica, I know it was like 2 or 3 weeks.
It's been like 2 or 3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks. Because I did see a social media post about this actually, and I seen one individual actually comment on the Facebook post that was made. Where else
Potaski News Review.
Then my last question is, have we typically always only received one bid on this? Or have we received multiple bids in the past?
It seems like there have been some years where we received two bids. I'd have to go back and double check. It seems like there have been multiple years where we've only received one.
Okay. Off the top of your head, or memory, the other bid that we received, is it a local?
I don't recall. Okay. I don't want to speculate.
Okay. And is he a city employee?
No. He is a volunteer that's kind of just a local tree expert, and we call on him and get his input, and he doesn't charge us anything for that. He had his own landscape company in Harbor Springs, but he's a resident and just likes to help out.
Mike, if you could weigh in on, so if we tabled this and received no more bids, would, number one, would AJ and Joe lose 2 weeks of valuable time before the snow comes? And number two, would they rebid and go higher? Could they? If you open bids, does that mean it's open to everyone?
Well, the attorneys, the attorney might weigh into it and say it might be a little bit holding things open or reopening and things of that nature, kind of interferes with the bid process, which are supposed to be secretive. Everybody's supposed to come up with their best pencil and provide that, their best price, not knowing what the competition's up to. Going through these processes the way they are now, obviously their numbers is a public number at this time. So,
sure.
Kind of puts them at a disadvantage if somebody wanted to come in, and bid a dollar less or something of that nature. We went through the process, we advertised it, we put it in our record, our local newspaper of record. It went above that, posted on social media. We only got the one bid. Could they do it? Is 2 weeks critical? Tree trimmers can generally trim trees and remove trees all year round. Okay. So I don't think it's going to remove the process. Or, it'll put them back and might put them in some snow, but they said their proposal is good for this year. So I don't know if we're going to get anything further, and I'm not sure what, if any, comments the city attorney would have with regards to the process.
Okay, thank you.
To your comment to a bit, Tom, in 16 years on the school board, we might have done 85% where we didn't get three bids. And so I will put it on whoever is sitting in the DPW chair. And so that's going to fall on you right now, Mike. I mean, you don't have to sit there and, well, it's your bid. I guess that's all we're going to do. Let's just do it. It's not that hard to go, trim a tree. Let me Google tree trimming, in northern Michigan. And, I'm sure I could probably come up with 20 people that I could say, hey, in case you didn't know about, that we're bidding out tree trimming. And, try to be proactive instead of all we ever are is reactive. That I don't like. So, accepting one bid just is not... It's not what we're supposed to be doing for this community, these people sitting in this room and out, the constituents out there. We're supposed to be good stewards of the dollars and not just go, yeah, that sounds good.
And there's a fine line, Marty. We all know that every company cannot even find people to Gal Litzberger went out of business because he couldn't find enough people to keep going. Companies right now are not bidding because they don't have the personnel. So are we hurting ourselves by not entrusting with a local contractor who does quality work and who gives a fair price? That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Any other discussion? The only other thing I'd add is in regards to that social media post, And I seen that the city went out for the bid. I also seen a lot of support on social media. I've never met AJ, but I seen nothing but support and references, recommendation of references. There was just another social media post posted probably 3 or 4 days ago where an individual was talking about someone that was cutting a tree down close to their house, and they did a phenomenal job. They were experts in their field, so it's not that I don't have anything against the all aspects forestry thing. I think obviously for 7 years they've had this project for that the city's paid them to do. I kind of relate with Marty a little bit on the bid process. Is something that has frustrated me. But I do believe that this is something that needs to be taken care of. I mean, I'm looking at some of this, and it's a tree limb over a house. Remove two small dead trees. At some point in time, where does liability, safety, concern come into play here? I do know that most arborists will operate throughout the year. Inclement weather doesn't really affect them too much outside. You know, there's that 2 month window of like January, February where they don't like to play in that much snow. But something that I feel I need as a commissioner to make a good judgment call here is the median cost for the last 7 years. How on par it comes. You know, this is kind of where I'm looking at. Is this one of those things with rubber stamping, or is this something that, you know, I'm all for rubber stamping, but I need the information to support that decision and that judgment call. And I don't know if $28,350 is $50 off from the median for the last 7 years. I would expect it to be a little bit higher due to inflation in the last 12 months. But I have no way to gauge it without having that information in front of me right now. And that's something that I feel I need to make a good judgment call here. With that being said, and not wanting to kick the can down the road on another agenda item, I don't want to kill this and have all aspects forestry lose out on the potential ability of bidding again, or you know, create any animosity with them. I would suggest that potentially we table this and not muddy the water and, okay, are we going to go out for three bids again? Are we going to look for three bids? So on and so forth. the legality of it, from my understanding, Mike and Chirpin, after I make the comments, but we've done the bid process. We have one individual that's made a bid. City administration, I feel, might be getting the idea that they need to come to us with a little bit better numbers as far as what that median expense has been for the last 7 years. Are we on par, or are we completely off par? That will help us at the next meeting potentially. And then also within that time frame, who's ever the, you know, DPW director can potentially reach out to this second individual that has bid in the past. Hey, did you know that there was a bid window? Would you be interested in this? And would they have the opportunity to submit a bid at that point in time? Can you chirp in on that, Mike? Would they be able to?
I don't know if I'll chirp in, but I'll comment to the point that we could potentially reach out to people that have bid in the past. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that has or hasn't been done in this process.
Right.
The city attorney might have some questions with regards to it, because I've asked him about bidding processes and reopening in the past. I haven't talked to him about specifically with regards to the two items that we have on the agenda today.
Right. But and that's kind of what I'm just going off from a previous
bid. Right. The only thing I could say that would give some assistance to you today is, again, this is off the top of my head, is the my recollection is that this number, the $28,350, is lower than usual, because for the last few years we were really heavy on tree cutting and trimmings and removals because there was like a really large backlog of those. So we took care of trimmings and removals at the expense of tree planting. So we've generally had about
you know, $50,000, $60,000 a year to work with out of all of that, generally. And it's been really heavy on the removal side, just so we got caught up and took care of a bunch of the safety issues. So this number is less, in my recollection, of what it has generally been over the last 5 or 7 years that you're referring to. It seemed like we had numbers that were significantly higher than this. But again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, how many trees were done, or trimmings, removals, and stumps, I couldn't, you'd really have to do a whole bunch of research to look into that type of stuff.
Right. Go ahead, Marty. Let me say one thing. I have no problem with all aspects of forestry. So what you read online, spot on. There, I have no issue with that. I want that very clear. You know, but I do have a problem with it not following protocol. And I think Tim makes a good point, though, Mike, that, you know, okay, maybe it was more expensive, you know, but to what numbers? I mean, here, you know, the expensive part is, are the cut and grinds, you know, doing away with is, you know, the more expensive part of the tree removal aspect. So we got 23, and then the rest of it is trimming and stuff. So I don't care. I guess I'll put it this way. Tom, as much as it pains me, I'll give you the win. I'm not saying I don't want to table this till we get Mike's answers and can look historically and say, okay, what has it cost us? And granted, Tim made the point, understood. Things have changed in the last couple of years. I'm not saying that you're gonna do the same job for the same price that you did 3 years ago. I know that's not the case. But give me something to go by. Give me something that I can walk out of this meeting and walk downtown and have somebody go, oh, so you spent $30,000 on tree trimming, huh? You know, and you know, how'd you come up with that? I don't know. We just had one number. We just said, let's do it. I have no problem with it.
Any other comments? So with that being said, I'll entertain a motion, and I'm trying to steer this and finding the middle ground. I don't feel that we need to go to the process on starting the bid window again, waiting another 2 weeks, collecting more bids, blah, blah, blah. I feel strongly that this is something we can table, get some more input from the city administration, and simply solve at the next meeting. So with that being said, I'll entertain a motion. Or I can make one myself.
I would make a motion to table this until the next meeting, until we can gather some additional information, and not necessarily any more bids, but we can at least, you know, make sense of it. I gotta formulate that into a motion.
I think you just did.
Again, makes sense. I don't know that you put that in a motion. So again, I would move to table this until the next meeting, when we can gather more information to make the right decision.
Okay. Is there support?
Support.
Okay. Any other discussion with the motion that's on the floor? Okay. Roll call, please.
Moody.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Nay.
Lassiter.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Motion carried.
All right, moving on. The next agenda item is 10. There's the order. Does any commissioner have anything that they would like to add? Marty?
You're Well, maybe because I took over the last few days and just looked back, and you know, we've been here for a year now. At least I've been here for a year now. Tom, you've been here longer. So I have a few real big concerns. You know, we've had a lot of turnover. We had a rated director that left us. We had a wastewater director that left us. We had a DPW director that left us a year ago, and then we sort of filled it, and then that didn't work. And then we took people that we had to fill, and then police, you know, we've had at least three in the past year. And I mean, for a small little community, I don't understand it. That's just a ton of turnover, and you know, we've got to figure this out. I find it ironic that we looked for a DPW director for 7 months, but we filled three positions in City Hall all in less than a month's time. I think maybe, you know, we weren't putting our best efforts forward, and I have a problem with that. The need was stressed, you know, that we needed to find additional help for the DPW. Those were in our, you know, budget discussions and everything, but we still haven't done anything, as far as I'm aware of, and attempted to fill any of that help. You know, I would have been fine with not hiring a DPW director and found more help for the DPW, because it was running fine for 7 months without it. I know it added more to your plate, Mike, but, you know, that's if that's how we're going to have to get things done in the future, I guess we got to look at that. The police positions are very concerning. You know, they continue to be a challenge for Chief Spate, and Assistant Chief is here as well, Mr. Mercer. And I think we need to look at how every department around us, you know, has these retirement packages, and we don't. And it's eating our lunch. I mean, we've got to do something. We've got to get a better handle on this. And I think, you know, quite frankly, I think we're in the same boat in a lot of our other compensation packages. And it shows by the revolving door. I don't need to say the next, because it was talking about what we already covered there, about you doing someone else's job, right? And then, you know, here I was. I was finally happy last month when we had three bids for an agenda item. I couldn't believe it. And that was once in a whole year. And then here we are again tonight. You know, back to the same old same. We've had an administrative assistant, Marina Director, but I haven't seen a report yet on where the Marina ended. It's summer. And we have a meeting on the Marina in 3 weeks. I'm sure that all the numbers have been provided to Adam Marsh for their proposal on the Marina, but yet we have not seen a single thing. I don't blame Don, you know, but we need to know what's happening. Mike, we can't go into this blind. And then I think we have, you know, again, I already said this. I think we've hastily spent a lot of money this year on things that we could have saved or looked at differently or tabled. This is my personal opinion. Well, all these are my personal opinion, but I think we need to make a change and receive our agenda packets 2 Thursdays before our meetings, so we have time to either opine on having or not having a specific item on that specific agenda, or at least have time to do due diligence and gather more information, because that seems to be where we lack a lot. We have a lot of items, agenda items, that can easily wait for another meeting, you know, but somehow we seem to turn a lot of these things into these dumpster fires that we've got to take care of right this absolute second. I put it here, I would probably start making motions to table items and wait for more info, which I decided to do today. I just couldn't sit by any longer. And then we've talked about it for a couple months, and we're finally listing a backhoe, but we got three vehicles sitting out here collecting rust. And the market is still ripe for selling used vehicles. And for the life of me, I don't know why we continue to hold on to them and we don't try to move them off. So there's my good of the order on these points.
Okay. Before we digest that, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
If you have a copy of that, can you make sure Jessica gets
it?
Because as you kept reading, her eyes kept getting bigger.
Oh yeah, I'll just give it to you.
You talk fast.
What you're writing. Any other input on that? Those topics for you two? Before I jump in?
What is the topic about?
Great. I agree with several of the talking points there. Me personally, I understand the staffing issue. With certain levels, certain certifications and that. And so where I look at it, and this is, since you brought it up, Marty, what's been turning in the back of my mind, as I have had experience throughout the years with dealing with it, at what point in time does the city potentially look at trying to find a recruiter or acquisition specialist or someone that is contracted or paid specifically to go find talent and adequate certified talent and bring that talent back to our community? I don't know if the city's done that in the past. I don't know if the city feels it would be a benefit. I mean, personally, I feel it would be a huge benefit. I know there's typically a pool out there of, I mean, I was one of them. I lived in 4 different states and worked in over 28 different facilities, and I love moving around because I got a $7,000 sign-on bonus every time I move home facilities. So I know there's people out there that take advantage of that, and they have personal connections with that, recruiters and acquisition specialists. So I think that would be a benefit. And so going through the opportunities, I guess is the best terminology to put in that list, I agree with several of them. And so I just sit here and think, as the city commissioner, what can I do to help the city administration? Because obviously it's not the best time to be hiring police officers or the best time to be hiring water waste candidates that are certified. So I think that's something that the city should look into. I think it would be a good benefit. So that's my input on your input. Other than that, the only other good, did you guys have anything for good of the order? The only other thing I have is ARP, and I'm going to bring it up in every single meeting, just because of the timing issue. And so we go through these meetings and we have opportunities like this. This is something that's going to directly correlate in how these funds are going to be utilized, essentially, with what Mike touched on in his management report. Down at that MML, it was very clear what communities were on top of it and what communities were not on top of it. I'll tell you right now, the communities that are on top of it, they've already done the community input, they've already done the surveying process, they've already done the data collection process on these sites, and they know the most efficient, most impactful way to utilize these funds, whether it's for infrastructure, capital infrastructure improvement. Some communities, you know, they're squared away up to par, and they have capital infrastructure improvement opportunities in other areas, and they utilize ARP funds for one-time employee bonuses. That is an opportunity with ARP funds. Another opportunity is some communities are making improvements to their community parks and increasing well-being infrastructure and social infrastructure. So at some point, so me sitting here in the back of my mind, I think it should be an agenda item tonight, along with several other items that we had at the very last meeting that I sent a screenshot to everyone and said, hey, it should be added on here, but we'll kick the can down the road again until our back's against the wall. But ultimately, I feel we have 13 months. If the commission has to get input from city administration on, hey, city administration feels that the most impactful way to utilize these funds is going to be here or here, and then we have to digest that as commissioners and saying, yes, we agree with that or we don't agree with that. And then at some point in time, I think it's the responsibility of us to engage our community in figuring out, okay, if the city administration is pretty squared away, they're not seeing too many impactful opportunities, at what point in time do we reach out to the community? And what is our timeline structure on that? Do we make a Facebook post tomorrow and then Friday we can make a decision on the next meeting? What does that timeline look like? So that's what I brought up, and I will probably consistently be bringing that up until there's a solid plan on how we're going to move forward with that.
So we have 13 months left?
Yeah, 12 and a half now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the total, Mike or Tim?
313. I want to say that.
Yeah. It was the 397 or 393, something like that. And I'm like, I don't have any interest in where it goes. I just have a very strong interest in making sure that it's done correctly. And we're not adding that to a list down the road as far as an opportunity we have to do better for the community. So, with that being said, if there's nothing else, we'll go to announcements. Next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for November 22nd, 2022 at 7 p.m. And city offices will be closed Thursday, November 24th, and Friday, November 25th, in observance of Thanksgiving. And with that being said, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.